What about painting, Darius? Tell us about your relationship to painting and your life as a painter.
Well, actually, most of it started in Montreal, believe it or not. I actually sold my painting to a lady friend, and she decided that she wanted one of my first paintings. She bought one of my first paintings in Montreal. She was a wonderful, wonderful girl. Not because she bought my paintings, because I had a crush on her.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but she was out of my league, really, my league. She was an ambassador's daughter, the Polish ambassador's daughter, Alba Roma. That was her name, Roma. And he was the ambassador to Canada in those days. She was a beautiful woman.
Do you remember the painting?
Oh, yeah.
What kind of a painting was it?
It was like I'm doing here now. This very much like my...
Seated at a table across from a woman painting.
Yeah, that one.
Mm-hmm.
That kind... I went back to that kind of feeling. I've always been that way, though, in a way. I like to tell a story and use characters, including myself, to tell the story.
One story you told of Jesus Christ holding an Academy Award that wasn't so well received in Mexico, where there's a lot of Catholic people who would find that blasphemous.
Oh, right.
Can you tell that story?
Oh, yeah. They were very, very adamant about my blasphemy because they said, oh, you shouldn't be doing that to Jesus. And I said, of course, I had some kind of answer. I don't know what it was. I was saying that Jesus is everywhere because I not only did that painting of Jesus, I did also another one with him being crucified on a hydro pole.
A hydro pole?
Yeah.
What's a hydro pole?
One of these poles that you see outside with a cross.
I see.
So I put him on there.
One can intuit a political commentary from both of those paintings.
Yeah, very much.
What inspired you to give Jesus an Academy Award and portray him that way?
Well, the thing was, I just wanted to show him that he could be anywhere. He could be anywhere.
If he were to take his juju out of turning water into wine and putting it towards Hollywood, he could be a famous star, is what you're saying.
Oh, my God. Well, he resisted. He resisted that. He could have been the wealthiest man in the world if he wanted to.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you could do things that he did, oh, my God. Of course, I believe that. Maybe I was going to tell you that, to me, a metaphor is not a metaphor if you cannot come to a reason why you're making that metaphor. A metaphor that can actually, I'm trying to say it because I thought about it when we left yesterday. I said to myself, well, a metaphor is a metaphor is a metaphor. And it could go nowhere. Because it could go nowhere. Because where would it go if it doesn't go somewhere? If you have a metaphor, it's got to mean something, doesn't it?
There has to be some intent behind it.
That's right. But if you just have no intent behind it, it's just another metaphor. Everything can be a metaphor then. The whole world could be a metaphor.
Or as they say in Star Wars, metaphors be with you.
There you are.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
That's a good pun.
Speaking of Jesus, you have rediscovered your connection to Jesus here recently.
Yeah, really.
Can you go into some detail about that? And what Bapak said about religion, maybe.
He did say at one time, I think Sylvie told me that because she has a good memory. And she said, oh yeah, I remember he's written somewhere that a lot of members will go back to their religion from Subud. That's what he wrote. And it's actually happened to me, so I know it it's the truth. It's the truth that he wrote, because it happened to me.
So when you say you go back to your religion, how does that manifest for you?
Well, it's not a religion as I go to church because of it. It's a mystical thing, I believe, because these are just words. All I remember is that I felt very strongly, and I made a connection with him on a different level, not as a painter, but as a man, you see. As a follower, almost. You see, when I was painting him, it was different. I was in control of the painting, you see. I could put Christ where I wanted to put him, on a hydro pole, or winning an Oscar, which I did, and it was a good painting. As a matter of fact, you've seen it, haven't you?
I don't think I have.
Never?
You don't have to get it now, though.
Oh, okay. But it was a very good painting as far as technical. And I had him holding a golden
statuette. Yeah.
And it caused trouble. Yeah,
So talk about the return to Christianity and how it manifests as prayer, among other things.
I'm not sure how to put it this way, because I just do it. You know, I just do it.
When you say it, you mean what?
I relate to Jesus much more the way that I should relate to him. In other words, I see him as an amazing son of God. I see him as a son of God. That's what I do. I really see. You see, either you believe that or you don't. You know, like, either you believe him and his father, who is God, and if you don't, well, you're missing out on the feeling of the whole thing. You know, like, either you believe God or you don't.
Richmond Shepherd tells a joke about golfing with Jesus and Moses and a very old man, and they're on the tee, and Moses hits the ball, it goes in the water, but then he parts the water, and he chips the ball back up onto the green, and he's ready to putt out. And then Jesus hits next, and he hits his ball in the water, but he walks onto the water, and he's able to chip onto the green, and he's ready to putt out. And then this really old guy is on the green, and he hits his ball in the water, but a fish comes up with a ball in its mouth, comes to the surface, and a bird comes and takes the ball out of the fish's mouth and drops it not only on the green, but in the hole. And Moses says to Jesus, "I hate playing golf with your dad."
That's a great story. Where'd you get that?
Richmond Shepherd told it at the National Congress.
That's a beautiful story.
I figured you'd get a kick out of it.
Oh, that's a hell of a good story.